of Hilchos Tefillin thus far. So first halacha that the Shulchan Aruch brings down is that if we have tzitzis or tefillin in front of us, what should we put on first? Tzitzis. And then we put on tefillin. Why? There's a concept called Ma'alin B'Kodesh, which means we go up in holiness, and tefillin is considered holier than talis. Why is tefillin considered holier than talis?
Because we have an actual commandment to put on tefillin.
And we commandment
to tefillin as opposed to tzitzis, which is you only have to put tzitzis if you're wearing a four-cornered garment.
Fascinating. One could have postulated that, but that is actually not the definition of holiness. Not necessarily. It's not about commandedness. It's about
tefillin represents our the connection we have to our brit with Hashem. Like it has that thing that you say before davening. Well, tzitzis is meant to be a reminder of the mitzvah.
Okay, I like that too, but I'm sorry, I'm being very simply. Very simply. God's name is written inside the tefillin many, many times. 21 times. That makes it holy. That's the halakhic definition of holiness. Got it? And therefore, we have to treat tefillin with a lot more care, as we're going to learn about, than tzitzis, for example, you can put on the floor. Tefillin, you can't. Because it's got God's name. Tzitzis, you can go to the bathroom. Tefillin, you can't. Right? So tefillin has a higher level of holiness. It's got God's name on it. We have to take it very seriously. So we do tzitzis tefillin. Next halacha we learned about was there's an interesting halacha that many people don't know, that ideally you should leave your house wearing tefillin and walk into shul with tefillin and tzitzis on your head, crowned like a king, and then walk into shul. That's why you'll see sometimes put my tefillin on outside of shul. But that's what Shulchan Aruch says. Mishnah Berurah says that nowadays a lot of people don't do that because the non-Jews, the people were scared that non-Jews would see them wearing tefillin and they'd get intimidated and they would walk by dirty places. And that's why the custom is nowadays is not so much to wear tefillin outside of the shul.
Trash cans all over the place.
Trash cans, fine. If you ask me though, now that we're back in Eretz Yisrael, and I think it's a great thing to do to put tefillin on as you walk into shul. And certainly outside of the shul, to come in with tefillin is the way that the Arizal would want us to do.
So what would you do with all these dumpsters that we had lying around?
Just avoid them. Just avoid them.
No really way to avoid them. If they're all.
I don't think it's such a technical problem. If you walk by them and you there happens to be in a 5-second radius a garbage can. It's more of a problem if you're actually going into the garbage dumpster.
I'm not supposed to say brachot if it's like you're in a place that.
If that is a terrible stench, it's one thing. It's another thing. It's just a close garbage.
I was talking to a man about it, and he was saying that like when he walks the show, sometimes he avoids certain areas because he doesn't want to say Rivul HaShachar near.
That makes sense. If you know it's a bad smell, and that's why many people don't pronounce tefillin as they're walking the show. You're right. But it's a nice thing. Okay, thirdly, tefillin is a pe'er. It's glory. It's considered our glory, and that's why the Rush would say Oter Yisrael B'Tefara, which means God gives us glory, and then he would put on the Shalrosh. And there's one day a year when we don't wear tefillin, at least in the morning. When's that?
Tishbav
and Shabbos. In Tishbav we're not glorious, we don't feel happy, and therefore we don't wear tefillin in the morning, so we get happier. And on Shabbos we have a natural pair, so we don't need
it. And Chol Hamoed.
And Chol Hamoed also to a certain extent, right? And Rosh Chodesh we take it off in Musaf because we have this natural holiness.
So I guess
Okay, the order of the tefillin, first we put on our shell, and then shell.
Rosh.
Why is that? Because in the Torah it says, "Ukshatam lo atayidecha v'yulu totafot beninecha." Since the order of the pasuk is first shell yad and then shell rosh, that's what we do. First shell yad and then shell rosh. What's up?
Rav Jacob is giving a Yom Tov chaining shear, so I'm going to
Okay.
I need it.
Okay, great. So, there's another halacha. We're in source 5, if you sort of look in. And the halacha is if you wear it, you're saying Shema, you're supposed to have what on your head and your hand? Tefillin. Why are you specifically supposed to have tefillin in your hand and your head when you're saying Shema?
Shema's in there.
Because the Shema is in there, and it's called Edith Sheker. You can't say you're going to wear a Shema, but you're not actually wearing Shema. Therefore, when you say, when you put your tefillin on, you should, when you say Shema, you should have your tefillin on. Okay? Now, that's an, and you should always carry your tefillin with you. If you're in a situation where you don't have tefillin on you and Zman Kriyat Shema is rapidly approaching, should you not say Shema in that case? Or should you say Shema even though you don't have your tefillin? The answer is you say Shema even though you don't have your tefillin. Okay? Because just if it was an accident, it's better than nothing. But ideally, you should say Shema and Shmona Esrei with your tefillin on.
If you put your tefillin on, let's say like Mincha time, should you still say Shema with your tefillin on?
Yes. Yes. But I was telling God that I recommend you could just put on your tefillin right away and say Shema. You don't have to wait till Mincha. But if you're going to wait till Mincha, then you can and should say Shema with your tefillin on. Okay? Next. There's this idea in source 6 of the Shulchan Aruch writes that somehow by putting on tefillin, you're subjugating your physical animalistic side. It has this effect of like making you less desirous and able to have self-control. That's some segula, some spiritual idea of that tefillin has this power. It's like radio antennas that connecting us to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we also talked about how there's Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. Now, are these two separate mitzvahs or are they the same thing? One mitzvah or two mitzvahs?
Two, you say two brachas.
Two brachas. Who says two brachas? Ashkenazim. Did you know that Shulchan Aruch says only one mitzvah? Only one bracha?
That's why you're not supposed to talk in between.
You don't talk in between to show that they're connected for sure. Not allowed to talk or even motion in between. Right? And the Gemara says that one who talks in between is considered a big aver. He has to go home from war. But between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh, we us Ashkenazim do say separate blessings. Sfaradim don't say separate blessings. One bracha because they consider it one mitzvah, and Ashkenazim assume it's two separate. They say mitzvah too, and we say leniach and amitzvah. If you don't have a Shal Yad or you don't have Shal Rosh, you do it. Are they dependent on each other? Can I do one without the other?
No.
You can. They're separate mitzvahs, but they're connected mitzvahs. So even if
so
I don't have
Sfaradim,
got also Sfaradim. Also Sfaradim will say that they both have independent value, even though they are ideally one mitzvah. It's a good question, a very good question. Okay, if you accidentally touched your Shel Rosh, and then you touched your Shel Yad, what do you do? We said first you should do Shel Yad.
Your Shel Rosh first.
No. You would think maybe because we in my view and all the mitzvahs, that would be a thought process. But no, still, because the Torah says Shel Yad, Shel Rosh, in this scenario we say, sorry, put the Shel Yad up, not put the Shel Rosh, put it up. But you should put your Shel Yad and Shel Rosh in a way that you always take the Shel Yad first so you're not into this weird, awkward situation where the Shel Rosh is going to be really insulted because you have to pass over on a mitzvah. We don't like passing over on mitzvahs. Okay, and finally, if you forgot to say a bracha on Shel Yad or Shel Rosh, you could still say it all day, because technically the mitzvah is to say it on Shel Yad and Shel Rosh all day. Okay, we only do it in a specific part of the day of, during davening. Okay, why do we do that? Why don't we wear our tefillin all day?
Because we're in the places that we can't.
We're not in the right state of mind.
We're not in the right state of mind. We're going to come to maybe have sexual thoughts, or we're gonna flatulate, or whatever, and we're not gonna be serious enough.
How did they used to do that without going to the bathroom? Did you just take it off?
And take it off.
About like working in the field, is that like thing you get dirty?
I don't know. I don't know if they did it when they worked in the field. It's really interesting question.
Is that what most Jews did back then? They worked in the
field. Yes, that's an interesting question. I don't know. There are people who do wear Shal Yad and Shel Rosh the whole day nowadays. They're learning Torah all day because they think they're on the level. God bless them. But most people don't.
I guess they're learning the Beit Midrash on
day. Yeah. There are people who do that. But it's pretty rare. If you Shel Yad Shel Rosh. The reason we put on the Shel Yad up to the muscle, the downward flip of the muscle, and then right before we tie it, we say the blessing. The reason we do that is because we always want to do the blessing right before the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is to tie it, say the blessing right before. And when it comes to Shel Rosh, the reason we put the Shel Rosh on kind of loose, say the blessing and then tighten it, is because same idea, we want to say the blessing and then only then finish up the mitzvah. The reason that we don't fully tie the shalyad, we only tie it up to here and then put our shalrosh on, right? You familiar with this? It's because we want there to be as little of a hefsek as possible between the shalyad and the shalrosh. So we just do the basics, shalyad, shalrosh, and then we finish up the job. There were those like Rav Soloveitchik that didn't do that, that would just do it normally. But our custom is to do shalyad, shalrosh, to have as little hefsek as possible. Do not talk or do anything between shalyad and shalrosh. Okay, I think that's what we got up to. And now, we're up to, page 4. Look, page 4, and hopefully we'll finish up the source sheet today. If there's time, I'd love to also do a Zozo with you guys. Lots of other things. That's one thing at a time. Alright, Johnny, do you want to read, Aser Lahafsik. This story sheet is Shulchan Aruch, and then I typed up in English the important Mishnah Berurah. Page 4.
So these are the long Mishnah Berurahs.
Or the long one. I picked and choose the one that I thought was most relevant. Page 4.
A story that seems to be bored being. Shouldn't it be. Is it Tefillah or
Tefillah? No, it's Tefillah. Tefillah is the singular version of.
Tefillin.
So hold on. So you're not allowed.
You're not allowed to make a break and speak between shel yad and shel rosh. If you speak from the bracha,
you make a bracha on the shel rosh. So if I spoke between shel yad and shel rosh, I have to make a new blessing.
On the
Shel
Rosh,
the Shel Rosh.
I think we put on the Shel
Yah. Shel Rosh, Al Mitzvah Tefillin. Oh, you say, it says here, you say, on the Shel Rosh, a bracha of Al Mitzvah Tefillin.
What's
that now? Haggadah Ramah.
If you speak, then you should say on the
Shel
Rosh,
a
bracha
of
Al Mitzvah Tefillin.
Mm-hmm. So what's the
same bracha?
Oh, I forgot to mention. The reason we say Baruch Shem Kvod Mokto, a great question, is we're not sure if we're saying a blessing, Levatola, unnecessarily, because maybe it's only one blessing, and therefore, whenever you say an extra blessing, you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto, because we may have desecrated God's name by saying it unnecessarily, so we want to add to God's holiness by saying, so we to kind of cover our bases, we say Baruch Shem.
So should Ashkenaz do that?
That's what Ashkenaz. So whenever you accidentally get a blessing by mistake, you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto. Yeah.
This is for Sephardim, because otherwise Ashkenazim already say that.
Already say what?
The bracha on the Shel Rosh.
Right. Nachum. Right. No, Ashkenazim only say.
Ashkenazim do both. Sephardim
does. We say two brachas.
We say two, but Sephardim say one.
Yeah, but the Sephardim also, I would say, if this is the Shulchan Aruch, and they don't talk between.
For sure.
Shel Yah and Shel Rosh.
They don't. They don't. But if they did speak, then they have to make a new blessing.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Did they say when they put on the Shel Yad or Shel Rosh generally?
I think. They say it for the Shel Yad. And it covers both.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. Ulididan.
Ulididan, to know how
Gid. Didan means and as for us.
And as for us. Our minhag is Lurich. Shtei brachot af ila lo hafsik.
We always say two blessings, even if we didn't do a hafsik, exactly what Yulalei was saying. Therefore.
Tarich lechazor ulvarech. So then you need to go back and say the bracha on the Shel Rosh, Laniach Tefillin, and also Mitzvah Tefillin.
Right, so you need to go back and also say Laniach and the Shel Rosh.
But saying on the
because
Rosh.
Because you on the Rosh.
Do you redo the
you don't have to.
You
just have to say the blessing. Fascinating. Okay.
So you keep that everything on already. You just said a bracha again for the shalat and the shalosh.
That's right. Okay.
Another question.
Mm-hmm.
So, when it comes to Shema, you're allowed to, like, if someone greets you or something like that, you're allowed to, like, greet them back.
It's in Shema?
In Shema, if someone, like...
No, that's why Jesus got
someone says.
Up.
I just read that Gemara.
Yeah.
It wasn't in Shema.
It wasn't in Shema.
It was Yeshua ben Parachia, and it was... He was davening, but I don't think it was necessarily in Shema. I think the answer is if it's between the paragraphs.
No, even if someone comes to greet... If like, a rabbi comes to greet you, and says,
so,
and says like, Shalom, you're supposed to respond. Like,
so you're right.
It depends. It depends if it's Kavod or Yura.
Technically... It could be in Mishnah times that would have been the law, but nowadays the way that the Shulchan brings it down, if I remember correctly, is that since most rabbis understand that you're not dissing them when you don't greet them, if you're in the middle of Shema, you would only greet them if they would really like be insulted. Even though it's different than what was written at the Mishnah times, I believe that nowadays we would not. You could do a head nod. But to actually speak in Shema,
so,
and even Psukei Dezimra, we would recommend against.
So, for Tefillin, you said that you're not supposed to motion.
Tefillin's different. Tefillin's different than you cannot motion whatsoever. Nothing.
Not
zero. Good. Nothing.
Even though it's Shema, kind of.
But Shema is less serious than between Chayat and Sharosh. Chayat and Sharosh is like the highest level.
So someone greets you. It's like a big
it
one.
Happens to me all the time.
That.
That's one of the reasons why I don't put my tefillin on the outside, because I bring my tefillin on and somebody says, what's up? Actually, you know what's crazy? I just learned this Gemara in Sota about not separating between Shalyan and Shalrosh. And then that morning, I went to the Kotel for the Minyan and for my Siyam. And I was all nervous because we didn't have a Bima. I was going from place to place and finally nobody would give me a Bima. And finally some guy, like, I asked him if I could take a bima, and I didn't realize that he was putting between his shaliyad and shalrosh. So he just kept putting on his tefillin, and he ignored me, put on his shalrosh, and then he started screaming at me, like, what are you doing, like, shaliyad and shalrosh? Like, how can you speak to me? And I was like, I wasn't looking at you, I'm sorry, I'm really nervous, ah! And I just thought it was crazy, because I just learned that Gemara. I don't know what the message from Keshevach was, but there was definitely something. Got it, but sometimes you're distracted.
There's no random. Did you feel like random
change? No excuses, Rav.
I said sorry, but I really was annoyed that nobody would give me a bima. Like, for
you
God's sake,
they
had 10 bimas. They couldn't give us one bima. But then there's a shkafa process. It's better without a bima. Because when you have a bima, you have to dance around the bima. But when there's no bima, you can do like a circle dance.
Then
snake,
I
do. Snake dance.
You got
a
Torah later.
And then we finished davening like way after them. So like we just take their bimas.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So it all worked out in the end. Okay, next halacha, Yud Bet, or Seif Tet in the Shulchan Aruch. Anybody want to read it?
I got
yes.
It.
Okay.
Brooks got it.
Brooks, do you want to go for it?
Sure.
We'll go this way. Okay.
Got it. It's number 12.
Mm-hmm.
Bet Zel Azeh, Daftal, Vahaya, Lo, Lach, Leot, Al, Yedach, the Leus, Oran, Bain.
Very good. So the tefillin shaliyah and the tefillin shalrosh have to be connected, chufin, zelazeh, because of connected, consecutive, tachuf, because the pasuk says first shaliyah, then shalrosh. So therefore they have to be connected.
Okay.
Which also I think you could say is your beliefs and your actions have to be connected to each other. Yeah? Okay. Now the Mishnah Brura has what to comment on this.
Bedibor. Like Chatchila Asur Afi Lafsik Bishtika Im Shohe Harba Shalolat.
Shalolatarach, period. Shalolatarach. So, in other words, lichatchilah, which means ideally, okay, it's aser even to be silent. Even if there's you didn't even say anything, but just if there's a long waiting period between your shoyad and your shalrosh, that too is problematic. Okay? Afilu.
What if, like, you're putting your leg to shul, you're putting on your phone,
then it's Kedusha. So you have to stop moving.
Good point. So I guess in that case, that's the Bidyavid situation. We're talking about ideally, Lechatchila.
Bidyavid.
I feel though he's Yach Taito.
Where?
You guys know what a Hesech Das is?
No.
Even though, even if there was no interruption of knowledge, meaning there was no interruption of headspace, a Hesech Hadas, and I was thinking, Tvillin, hold on a minute. There was no interruption in my head. Nonetheless, ideally there should not be an interruption to the Inshaliyah and Shorosh.
That's really hard to clear your mind.
Yeah, but in general, 90%, 99% of the time, you just put on your shayat and you put on your shalosh. There's no.
It's better if you're tired and you're not thinking of anything.
It's not saying you have to think about it. It's saying that even if you have a gap, and even if you're thinking the whole time, it's fun, you shouldn't have that gap.
It should just be one into that. Very good. Vafilu.
Vafilu, Loremez Be'enav.
What does Loremez Be'enav mean?
To hint with your ass.
To wink, to hint, to say whatever. Very good.
It's
the krutz be'atzba'otav. What does that mean? To with your fingers, to like hand motions. Say hey, what's up? Whatever. You give someone hand motions.
Hand motion. Ben had
tefillin shal yad.
Ben had tefillin shal rosh. Gam kain.
Very good.
Yesh liyizhar liktichila.
Yeah, there too, yesh lizaher.
What does the whole thing mean?
So, and even to wink with your eyes or make hand motions between tefillin shayah and tefillin shorod, we should be careful not to do lechatchila. Meaning to say that if you did do a hand motion, b'di'eved, it seems like it's okay, you would not have to say a blessing. If you spoke, on the other hand, you would have to say a blessing, a new blessing. Maybe if it was speaking related to the tefillin shel rosh and shel yad, you wouldn't have to make a new blessing. But in general, speaking is a big problem. Afilu b'shogeg, the next mission. Even if it was a mistake, if you spoke, you have to say a new blessing. If you hinted, it's not ideal, but you probably wouldn't need to make a new blessing.
Would this be applicable to any, have say, between like two brachot? Like, washing your hands, saying Al-Tazidayim, and saying Hamotzi.
Oh, that's a good question. That is different.
But Lechadchila.
Lechadchila, we do not speak between the Tazidayim and Hamotzi.
But would you?
The reason is because the Rama is worried that we are going to come to speak, and if we come to speak, we're going to accidentally come to touch an impure place. So it's a kind of gezeira, lest that happened, and therefore our custom is not to speak. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring that down, and everyone agrees that this is Netilat Yadayim and Hamotzi are not as interconnected as Shel Yad and Shel Rosh is. So those are two separate ideas, and if you spoke between Netilat Yadayim and Hamotzi, you would not need to make a new blessing.
That way Sephardim talk, or mostly talk during
Yeah. And if it's related to the blessing, you can talk. If it's related. Pass the salt, or even an explanation of the bread technically could be okay. However, what you are right, John, is let's say you said Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, and then you didn't eat yet, there you're not allowed to make a separation at all. You can't talk, nothing. Because then it's like Hamotzi and then you speak. And if you do that, that's considered disrespectful and you have to make a new
blessing. That's why we don't speak between Al-Tayyidayim and...
No, so I'm explaining, between Hamotzi and eating is problematic. Between Nitilat Yadayim and Hamotzi, ideally, we should not speak, but if you spoke, it's not the end of the world.
Is it a chumrah?
No, it's not a chumrah. It's a law mentioned by the Rama. It's a minhag mentioned by the Rama. But if you messed up, it's not a big deal, and Sfardim don't even bechlal hold of it. As opposed to Hamotzi, after you said the blessing, you really cannot speak.
So if you talk during Al-Zazirah, you don't wash your hands again and say
no. No, you should not. If you want to wash your hands again, you can, but you don't have to, but you certainly should not say a new blessing.
I think some people have that mixed up.
Many people have that mixed up, which is why I'm clarifying.
It's
very confusing. Because they're too connected. They seem like they're the same thing, but they're not.
Why are people so machmir about not being
sure? That's good. Why not? To me personally, I like the minhag. I like what it does to Hamotzi. When you meditate a little bit, and you sing a little bit, and you're just like, get into the right head space. It's nice. I like it. I like it. Okay, next halacha, I'll do this one fast. We're in Lamed Aleph, still in source 12 of Mishnah Berura. Why don't we make two blessings and it's not good enough for one alone, like this Sfardim? We hold sover, like svara. We hold that the tefillin shel yad also falls upon the shel rosh. When you're doing the shel rosh, it's like the finishing up of the mitzvah. It's like the closer. And what's his name? Mariano Rivera, mm-hmm. Right? So
he was in the Rishon.
What?
He was in the Rishon.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Hi. So the closer is shel rosh, the opener is shel yad. Therefore, if you spoke in between, it's like there's an interruption here, and you have to also say a new blessing of shel yad, which goes on both of them. People think shel yad is only on the hand; it's actually on both the hand and the head, and therefore you need to make a new shel yad and shel rosh if you spoke. Clear?
What about taking it off?
Like, when's the best time to take it off?
No, like when you're taking it off. I'm apparently not allowed to speak either.
So, I've never heard that. Never heard that. In general, we try not to talk about silly things when our tefillin's on. But I never heard that there's a specific law of not speaking.
What was the Ikar of that last part?
The Mishnah Berurah is explaining the rationale as to why, if I spoke between Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, I would say a new Shel Yad. Blessing.
Because they're
all interrelated, and so shel yad, it goes on both the hand and the head aspect. They're not two separate. They're related issues. Yeah? Okay. Next, Mishnah Berurah, lachzor v'lavarech, nachon shim shmesh az v'shel yad la'zizo mimkomo. Julian, you remember before you were like, but aren't you supposed to like take off your tefillin? Yes. You should, ideally, if you spoke between shel yad and shel rosh, so then... If you spoke between Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, you should move your hand, okay? And then say the new Leniach Shel Yad, and then say that Shel Rosh. Okay? Everyone. Mishnah Berurah explaining to them. Well, I think Mishnah Berurah is explaining the Ashkenazim custom. I'm not an expert in the Sephardim do, but I'm assuming it's the same. If you spoke, you move your tone a little bit, and then you say Shel Yad and Shel Rosh.
In the middle of davening, you have to go to the bathroom, take your tefillin off. When you're putting it back on, does it need a new bracha? Ooh,
good question. If you went for a number two, mm-hmm. Then the answer is yes. Because you were not allowed to wear your tefillin when you're in number two, and therefore there was like a hesach das. If you went for a number one, then I don't think you would. Because technically, although no one does this, but technically, theoretically, you could go to the bathroom without at least your shel yad on. Practically, do people say new blessings if they went to number two? I'm not sure. I gotta get back to you about that. I'm not sure. I think they probably should, but I'm not sure if people do. Okay? Let me write that down. It's a question to look into. New bracha. A few questions that have come up that I gotta look into. After a bathroom. Seder? Okay. Uvezeh tachzor b'racha l'aniach gam she'al ha'shel yad v'dom ha'kilu aniach ata ha'shel yad v'shel roch t'chubin t'lozeh. In this way, like Julian said before, you are connecting shel yad and shel rosh, so it's like you're wiggling the shel yad and then you're putting on the shel rosh and it's all good. Fine. Next halacha, chaf hey. John, your turn? That's 13, source 13.
Okay.
So on page 4, it's source 13.
Okay. Malachot Tefillin, Siman. Okay. Imsach, Batzorev, Tefillin, Eno Chozer, Umbarev, with Sach.
If you spoke but you spoke about something regarding tefillin, then you would not have to make a nevuah.
Imshma kadish al kedusha ben tefillin shel yad let tefillin shel rosh lo yusik leinot imahem.
Exactly your question.
So if you listen to Kadesh or Kedusha between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh, you don't, it isn't a break.
You don't stop to answer Kedusha and Kadesh. It's more important that there should not be an interruption between Shel Yad and Rosh than it is to say Kedusha. Normally, we always stop to say Kedusha, virtually always.
Except for Shmona
Esrei.
What do you do
in
Shmona Esrei?
Do you
just be quiet?
So Shmona Esrei, there's two opinions. One opinion is you stop and Shomea Ka'one. By listening to the Chazan, it's like you're answering, so we count it. The other opinion is you just keep going. Don't worry
about
it.
That's Tosfot. No, doesn't Tosfot say because you can't stop because then that...
Then it's like you actually spoke and that's a problem. So therefore, there's another opinion, you just keep davening. I've heard from Rabbi Rufink said you can choose what you want to do.
My rabbi?
You know Rav Fink?
It's my rabbi, Rav Fink.
Maybe probably a different Rav Fink.
No, he's from New Rochelle.
No, maybe they're related. Sorry. But he said, I've heard him say that you can choose based on your mood. Like, but that's in Shmona Esrei. Now in terms of Shel Yad Shel Rosh, you should not stop. Don't stop. Okay, keep going. Ella.
Hello. Shotik the Shomeam Uma Huyana Lama Shomi. Rather, you should be quiet and listen.
To what they're saying?
To what they're saying.
Like in Shmona Esrei, listen.
Wait, what did he say?
He said, stop listening. Stop dropping this.
He said, before we're supposed to stop.
We're talking about between Tefillin Shel Yad and Tefillin Shel Rosh. Don't stop in the sense of speaking, but yes, stop in the sense of listen.
Listening to Kedusha and Kaddish.
Good. Mishnah Brura. No, it's not that I must be taking it out. Sorry. I guess it's on the source sheet.
No, it's over here.
All right, the next one. Okay, keep going. First question.
So you should stop listening. So you can stop going.
Yeah.
Mishnah Brura.
Yeah.
Well, our question is
for yeah. Exactly. Be'im Pasa. Amen Yeheshmi Rabba.
Amen Yeheshmi Rabba. O Kedusha. O Baruchu O Shem Shana.
Amen.
Amen. Al Eza Baruch Sheshma. And if you stop to answer Amen Yeheshmi Rabba or Kedusha or Baruchu or Amen.
Any bracha that you heard?
Or any bracha that you heard? Choser umvarech ben.
Ayin gebetayin. Bir halacha. That's
so. You should go back and you should bless again.
So if you spoke, you have to make a new bracha on Tefillin Shel Yad.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not.
Do
you put them back on or
not? Take them off. You probably have to do the same wiggle move, the wiggle the Shel Yad.
Oh, you wiggle them. But no, but you know, Rishpura said that you just take them off and put them back on.
No. Let me say before. Didn't we just say that you should touch it a little bit? I think we said before that if you spoke, what you should do is touch it a little bit. I'll show you. It's in. We just saw this.
So, Kaftet. I don't know. Here, Lamabet. Lamabet, number 12. The bottom right of the English.
Azizumim, come on. That's what I said. Move them a little bit. Okay, next halacha. We might actually finish the source sheet for once. Who knows? That would be exciting. Brooksy, do you want to try it?
Yeah.
We're in source 15.
You say
the text is shomea.
Mm-hmm.
The hash tika kanye ma'anyan.
The hash tika kanya. Silence is like answering. Li'inyan.
The source
food. Right.
We say it's yet fat aval lo shit shav ka hafsaka.
So silence is like answering regarding being yotze yodei chovato, to be yotze yor chova, but it's not considered a hefsek. It's exactly what we were talking about before. On the one end, you can be break. On the one end, you can be yotze by listening. On the other end, it's not considered an interruption, unlike that opinion that listening is somehow an interruption. And this is if you want to do a good Ian shir, you can compare those two sages. Fine, good. Next, halacha, Shulchan Aruch. Julian, why don't you try it? Achar shakasher.
Achar shakasher al shayad al hazroa. Yaniach shal rosh kodem shiachruch. Yikare ruch.
Yichruch, tai. Kaluch.
Tai. Alright, so Saviv Hazua. So after you connect the Shayai to the Zura.
To the hand?
It's up. Is it?
Your arm. After you tie the Shayai on your arm.
Yeah, Shel Rosh Kodam. You put on the Rosh before?
You place the Shel Rosh.
This before tie.
But. You put on a shalrosh before you put around your fingers. Right? Shayad, shalrosh, fingers. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Okay? Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes, this one I summarized for us. Brooksy, why don't you read it in English after placing?
After placing the shalrosh, you wrap once around the middle of the perek and twice around the bottom of the finger. Some do bottom of finger first. After each wrap, we recite part of the pasuk. Verishta shtiach li leolam batzei o v'mishpat o v'chesed o v'rachamim b'mei v'yadat ha'atshem.
Very good. Okay, hopefully you're familiar with this. Anybody know what those psukim mean?
I shall marry you. I will marry you always. Marry you in justice. Words, I think,
kindness,
and chesed, and goodness, and rachamim, and mercy. I covenant with you in faith, and I know what I got.
Awesome.
So you do twice around the bottom and once on the top?
Or? Yes, the different customs about that. But the basic idea is it's like a ring, it's like a wedding ring. We're getting engaged to Hashem.
Can we do the middle?
I'm doing it wrong this whole time. I do twice around the bottom, twice on the top.
They're different
around, I do twice
on
the bottom, once around the
sages,
twice
on the bottom. They're different customs. I do it. Two on top, one on bottom. They're different. If you want a good visual, Ari Kaplan has in his book, shows all the different minhagim about how to rap.
Do you have it right
here? I don't see it. No, I mean, no. I'll look for it. I know one of the boys has it. I don't remember. There's two must-read Ari Kaplan's. One of them is the blue book on different mitzvahs. On tefillin, on tzitzis, and on a few other mitzvahs. Fantastic.
His philosophy.
Must-read. His philosophy on mitzvahs.
No, it's his philosophy on...
There's a red book, which is a more philosophical one, more like...
Kabbalistic meditation.
Right? That's a whole different... There's Jewish meditation, there's his inner space Kabbalah, and then there's the two... Ari Kaplan Anthology 1 and Ari Kaplan Anthology 2. And 2, which is the blue one, they have all these mitzvah ones, and I highly, highly recommend them.
What's the philosophy of this? If you were God,
I love that. That's what I grew up on, in high school and stuff like that.
I've never read I went to Orchai and they you got to read Ari Kaplan. Like,
you got it. You absolutely. Julian, you get nothing. I hope you got a lot, but if nothing else out of today, you got to read those books. They're awesome. They're awesome. Especially the mitzvah ones.
You died at the age of 47.
So in that he explains, so why are we engaging Hashem specifically on tefillin? What does tefillin have to do with, you know, getting married to God? And it's a nice thing to do. What does tefillin have to do with anything?
It has a covenant.
It's a covenant.
It's like a ritual.
How do we say that? Where do we see that tefillin is specifically linked with Abba Hashem?
Shema.
So what does Shema have to do with anything?
Oh,
right, what does Shema have to do with tefillin?
Shema is in tefillin.
Tefillin is in the mitzvah, the commandment to wear tefillin. Where do we get that from? The first paragraph of Shema.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we get the commandment to love God from?
The
first paragraph of Shema.
Don't we
Therefore, it makes a lot of sense that as an expression of that love of a God, we should
wear the
tefillin. And that's why we wrap the tefillin into this. We express our love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're wearing tefillin to the ring. Make sense?
Don't some people also add the same
Yes, Kabbalists And I'm God blessed like that. I used to always do the Shem Yuchad before tefillah.
Yeah, I tried doing it a little bit this year, but then
it's
I
great.
Down.
It's great. It gets you prepared.
It's a little sentence.
It's a Kabbalistic meditation that prepares you for tefillah. It's great because it tells you the four paragraphs which are written in the Shema, the four times that we're commanded to wear Shema. And and when I used to do it, my tefillah and kavana was times five. I'm just a lazy bum, and I can't start coming later to davening, and now I don't, because you don't have to do it. It's optional, but I really should get back to saying it. It's great. It's really great. I did it, my bar mitzvah teacher taught me, and I thought you had to do it, so I would always do it. And then I realized that it's just a minhag.
What about the paragraphs people say between, like, shal yad and shal rosh?
I'm done with it.
Like, as you're
rapping. That's what we're done with. That was a Mishnah Berurah that we just read that says that I will be engaged to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. All that.
Do you
all
have
that,
to say
this?
You
have to know.
So the only thing,
fact, some
the only
like,
thing you really need are the two brachos, right?
That is
correct. And Baruch Shankavu.
That is correct, but it's nice. It's good. It's
yeah,
a strong
yeah.
Man to do it, and therefore you should do it if you can. Okay? Seder, tefillin, according to Rav Ari Kaplan, is all about our physical expression of love of Hashem. In fact, watch this, this is cool. We say every day in Shema, V'yahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, with all your heart. Now where do you put your tefillin?
Face your heart.
B'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha.
You
had b'chol me'odecha, your strength. Which is your talent, which is your art. So you're saying, I'm going to love God in every single way possible. Yeah. I was really amazed. We did Shema with this Birthright group, and they didn't know anything. They didn't know Am Yisrael Chai, they didn't know, like, but half of them knew the first paragraph of Shema.
That's when you like the little kids that, like, they were like 3 or 2, like, when they sent to the churches, and then they would just say the Shema, and then you hear, like, the
right.
Kids
that
would.
Exactly. I was thinking telling them that story. Story. So, okay, you ready? Next halacha, we're up to source 16. Johnny, why don't you try this one?
Im aniach tefillin kama pa'amim v'yom. So, if you put on tefillin, how many times in the day?
A few times in the day.
A few times in the day. So, arich l'varech aleihem v'chol pa'am. You need to say the bracha on them. Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Yishma tzu mim komam u mishma abahem le hachaz ziram mim komam atzarich levarech.
If mishma means if it got separated, it got displaced.
If
from its place.
From its place. Meaning, if you left, or
no, the tefillin, you know, you were dancing at the Rosh Chodesh Minyan, and the tefillin got thrown off, right? So, when you mash them, and you're moving them, lachziran lemakoman, to return it to its place. Right. So the Shulchan Aruch is saying every single time, theoretically, your tefillin. You need to say new bracha. Awesome.
And the Rama says,
"Im
mechazir." If you have to return one of them, yivareh kmo she maniach tefillin achad kedel matan.
Kedel kaman, as we said earlier.
Hazizam mimikomam adat lehachaziram liad sarich levareh. If you have to return one to its place.
And even one of them, not either the Shayad or the Shalrosh, and it got misplaced.
You have to
say a bracha.
You have to say a bracha.
And we said before, even if you had an intention, I mean, if I'm purposely moving my Shalrosh, I have to say a bracha. However, V'yeshomrim.
V'yeshomrim shalvlo levarech. And but those who say that you don't say a bracha.
Now, how do we paskin practically?
That we don't say a bracha.
We don't say a bracha. If I accidentally had my shalrosh removed and I put it back, we don't say bracha. Similar to the halacha that technically, originally, if my talis fell off, I'd have to make a new blessing on my talis. But practically, we generally don't do that. It's a discussion why that is.
So at the Kotel, when we were there on Yom Yerushalayim, Ezra gave me his tefillin. I put it on when we were going into the Kotel so I could catch up. Then give him a chance when it was time for Shema Shema Esrei.
Yeah.
So then afterwards, like during Hallel and stuff like that, he gave it back to me for like after, like a little while afterwards.
Right.
He gave it back to me.
So
should I have said
you
Rechal on it?
Technically, it seems like you probably should. But for some reason, the custom seems to be have developed to be lenient about brachas of a tefillin when we take them off, and I'm not sure why that is.
What does Rav Malamed say?
I haven't looked at it, to be honest. If we get through this, we can hopefully look through what Rav Malamed has to say about tefillin. I don't know. Good question. I'll put that in another like your halal situation, halal bracha. Not sure why, but
I don't remember if it was hot, but it was at some point.
In general, yeah. In general, like, why don't we say this bracha? We seem to pass on, like, leaning up in and that we don't make a bracha. Okay. Basically, what we said is that technically, if you took your tefillin off and then you re-put them on, you should say a new blessing. But we noted that our custom generally is not to say a new bracha, like the last opinion quoted in the Ramah. And we're trying to figure out why that is, that the halacha is developed.
16 or 17.
That was 16. Now we're up to 17. Okay? Next, halacha 17. Or Yud Bet. Well, what I did, just to understand, this is kind of like a Shana Bet style shear.
We didn't finish the second one of the...
Oh, yeah. We didn't finish the Shana Bet. Just to understand, normally what I do with you guys is I just give you Pnini Halacha, and it's like, he sums it all up for you. He does all the work for you,
mm-hmm.
which has been great. I think it's been great. But this is kind of more like to look in actual Shulchan Aruch and see his language and see the Ramah and how they play off of each other to kind of get a... They're both great. And to get a full picture, I think you need both. You need to also learn the Pnei Halacha because a lot of times Halacha has evolved differently for the last, you know, hundreds of years have passed and Pnei Halacha is a great way of summing it up. But on the other hand, you need to see the roots to really get where the Pnei Halacha is drawing it from and where we get it off. Seder? Okay, mission number, finish up, John.
Nishmato. Was there, if you goes back to...
If it fell off, the tefillin fell off.
Petav.
Shla. Shna is the Shnei Luchot Abrit. He was a Kabbalistic rabbi. Isaac Horowitz wrote an amazing commentary on Torah. So he writes,
Hadalo,
What is Nahigi? What's the Russian guy?
Custom.
Ha, the Nahigi, that we do not. This is not our custom. It's not our minhag.
We don't say Rachel.
Right. Ha idna
the varech ke she nishmato mimkor mama mishum devash ad filab misad ma eno. That we say a bracha that if it fell off
our custom is not nowadays to make a new blessing. Ha'idna means today. Okay, it's Aramaic for today. Why? Because you're davening. And mistama means we can assume there's no hesach hadas, there's no interruption in knowledge when you're davening. So because you're davening, we assume that you were always thinking about tefillin, and we would not say a new bracha. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's explanation of why we seem to pass him against the Shulchan Aruch the Ramah. This is a good example of how every once in a while the halacha does evolve against even the shlo of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah.
But does the Shulchan Aruch bring a logical conclusion that if it doesn't matter if you're thinking about tefillin the whole time, if there's a break, it's still a break? But this isn't a break. It's Cyric.
You're right, but that when the Shulchan Aruch said that before, it was talking about in the context of between Shalyad and Shalrosh. For some reason, we take that super duper seriously, and we don't allow you to have any break. Here, we're referring to a case where you had the Shalyad and Shalrosh on, you had the V, check, and then just the Shalrosh fell off, so there we're more lenient, and we take a more lenient perspective. Okay? Next halacha, source 17, halacha Yudbet. Go for it.
The
Beit HaKnesset.
The Beit HaKnesset. I'm feeling of Hayah Dato the Lavashan Tikaf.
Techef.
Techef.
Techef means immediately.
Immediately. Tariq the breath, the kaba?
Like the rat, the kuliyama.
Kuliyama
means everyone. Everyone agreed that you have to make a bracha.
Taha en rashi lil lech behem lebet kisei adachi le vikmash kmoshkatuv b'sivan 65.
Yes. Okay. So let me. This is exactly Brooksy's question. The Mishra
is
saying if you took them off, Chalsan means to took them off, to enter into the Beit HaKisei, I apologize, not the Beit HaKisei.
Is that a bathroom?
A bathroom. Even if your intention was immediately afterward, the filo yadaito lulav shav, to wear them, immediately techev. Tzarech levech, nonetheless, everyone agrees you have to make a new bracha. Because you cannot go into a bathroom. And therefore, it doesn't matter if you would, then you have to make a new bracha.
But it's because location what you do, because farting could be done to take it.
Oh, so keep going. He'll get to that.
One second. Flashlights.
Thank you.
Mari says passing wind.
Passing wind,
really?
Yeah, it says something. What is it?
Yeah,
something.
So that's something.
We got to
Chaye Adam. Another post. Who Hadin?
Odin. Kesha Chalutz. is that
when you take it off, choletz, remove it.
Shetzarich lehafiach kevan ta'asur lehafich lehen tzarich lechazor lebrech.
When you take it off because you have to pass wind.
Which word is it?
Lehafiach means to pass wind.
Flatzti.
Yes.
It's flatzti, right?
In maybe in modern Hebrew, but in the Shulchan Aruch, if you had the flashlight, you took off your tefillin, you take off your tefillin Jerush, you have to make a new bracha. Now, once again, technically, you should make a new bracha. I think that the custom has developed to not make a new bracha.
Really?
If you flashlight. I could be wrong on this one. I could be wrong, and we'll write that as a question, but I seem to remember that many are lenient. We can look it up in Nina Lachan. Another way that I look this stuff up is they have something called the deer shoe. I'll show you guys soon. It's a new... Oh, this. In fact, we can lift them all up.
Turn the AC back off.
Yeah.
That's how much...
You saw, I turned it off when you guys started falling asleep.
No, I like the AC.
No,
it
just
keeps me
awake. I know. As soon as I see you guys falling asleep, I'm gonna put on. That's just the rule. So this is a beer.
I'll fall asleep.
Brooks, it was you.
It was me.
Guys, this is a deer shoe edition. This is what I do to look up all these modern shilas. This is the Shulchan Aruch that we've been reading, and the Ramah and the Shembura. This you know by now, and the Be'er Halacha is his explanations. And these is modern rabbis. They have a whole organization where they take all, not all, but many, many rabbis, and they
that's so cool.
Modern tshuvas and modern shailos.
So it's like the opposite of what was cooked in.
Right.
To go to the
Gemara. Right. So he brings back food. This is just like
so
all
cool.
These modern modern day.
So cool.
If you want, if we have time, which I think
really
we actually have for once today.
So cool.
We can talk about all the modern issues inside. For example, the Shloss says, Mishnah from Meno Hatal at the Emsat Tfilah Shmonesre. If your talis falls off after in the middle of your Shmonesre, you should say a blessing afterwards.
Even though
I've heard of it differently according to some rabbis.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this particular equation. What halacha are we on right now?
No.
Three pieces in the afternoon.
That's what I thought, yeah.
So we have this until 12.
17.
That's why
I was surprised. I figured we
What halacha are we in? What simon are we in, guys?
Simon Shabura?
No, we just had a question, right? Of your bet, right?
Yeah,
of flatulation? Do you have to take it off if you flatulated?
Yeah.
Let me look it up for you guys. You bet. Me. We are in Mayan. Okay. So.
But it makes sense.
All right, let's say I'll look up the charlotte that we've had afterwards. It's both. It's a new song. All right, it's gonna be great.
Okay. He redeemed Tzion after 19 years of being exiled.
Fantastic.
No, seriously.
19 years is no big deal.
Yes.
This song is 2,000 years old.
Okay, so it's...
It's a new song, all right? Let Julian be
happy. I like the song. I like it better when it's...
Next halacha. Okay. Weiser. Weiser, we're up to the final page of Hilchos Tefillin. Chaf.
I thought it was so Zionist-y.
Timon Chafei Sifgim. Okay, who wants to read? Nago Olam. Oh wow, we're about to learn about this. Well, it's young. Shkacha practice.
No, it
didn't. It didn't talk about it. I didn't find it. I have to look it up afterwards. Okay.
Okay.
You want to read?
Sure.
It's really hard, but go for it. Nagu.
Olam shalol v'achlutz tefillin ad achar kiddushah v'al tzion. It's the minhag of the world that you don't put on your tefillin after the kiddushah and v'al tzion.
You don't take off your tefillin until after kiddushah. And Uval Tzion. That's when you take off your toe. Okay?
What about Elena?
So we'll talk about
the bare minimum.
We're talking about the bare minimum. The Shulchan Aruch says, wait until Kedusha and Uval Tzion.
But there are two different points. There's a gap in the middle.
There's
the Kedusha after
the Kedusha after
Uval Tzion.
Oh, okay.
Got it? Mm-hmm. Keep going, Rama.
Yes. Mi shekatav al sad hakabalah shelo lachlus ad sheamar bahem kaf kalosh kedusha v'arba kedushim deyanu lacher kadish yitum lachin algim hamat katkim.
Okay.
So it's written.
According to the Kabbalists, those who write according to the Kabbalah,
that you're not allowed to
take off
the tefillin, as it's like it says, bahem. In them.
Until you say by them.
Until you say by them.
Three kedushas
and four kaddishes.
Okay, so what are the three kedushas?
Shema,
Before. Right, before Shema, and Shemona Esrei, and Avodah Tzion, there are three kedushas. And the four kaddishes includes the kaddish which is said at the end of davening. Okay, and there, which is the man or
well, it depends. I guess if you have a mourner, then you're going to say more kaddishes.
That's true, but I think what the Arizal, he is actually quoting the Arizal, was referring to was at the end of davening. You should wait to take off your tefillin until the end of davening.
So this is a different opinion than the one after Val Tzion, because
you have to wait. Yes, he's saying there's a more stringent opinion that Ramah is quoting that says that you should wait till the end after kaddish yato.
Yeah.
Okay. V'hachi noagin l'medaktikim. What's a medaktik? The stringent ones. Someone who's extra stringent, that's their custom.
Wait, so
SAR
did that. Like they wouldn't
want to
take off.
SAR is very stringent. They would suggest
it. You can do whatever you want.
You can suggest it.
Rabbi Limon would always be like, Julian, they'd be like, guys, why are you taking off your tefillin? And I would take off my tefillin. Because... Why?
You okay, good. So you're all the Kabbalists. Wonderful. Even better. Good. Okay, keep going. You're
Yom Rosh Chodesh, Chotzimo Tamli, Kodem Tefillat Musaf. In the days of Rosh Chodesh, you would take tefillin off before Musaf.
Mm-hmm.
Haga, the opinion or something?
The Ramah.
Lo ve hai hai.
Vuhuadin.
Vuhuadin bichol hamoed vidoka b'makom shamrin b'musaf kedusha la lev keter mihunogim lis kalam kodem musaf bichol makom. And it is not you can't do this on every moed.
No, that this is the din on chol moed also, that we take them off before we get. If you were tefillin chol moed. And you take it off before Musaf.
Wait, why?
Oh, he's explaining it. Vadafkan specifically.
In a place that once says Musaf,
the holiness of the heart is there.
Of the keter. The keter. The crown. Now, if you remember earlier, what's our crown? Remember, we should walk into shul adorned with tefillin. Tefillin is our crown. But when we say Musaf, we don't need that crown because we have a different crown of Keter, the holiness of the Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, to express the holiness of the day, we remove our tefillin before we say the Keter. But it would seem that it's only Nusaf Svar that says Keter that we would remove our tefillin. Mihu, remember what Mihu means? However, okay.
However, the Minhag.
Is the Salik, what does the Salik mean?
I don't know.
To remove them?
To remove them during Musaf
svard.
In every place.
We everyone removes tefillin because there are other reasons why we remove our tefillin. So everyone agrees that we remove our tefillin. What are the other reasons? Trying to remember. I don't remember offhand. I think it's basically the same idea that like to express the special sanctity of Rosh Chodesh, we have to take off our tefillin. Oh, it's like I forgot. Maybe any day which has korbanot and the Musaf represents korbanot, we don't wear tefillin. I don't remember exactly, but there are different opinions, and either way, we don't wear tefillin in Musaf. Okay? Got it? Any questions? Clear? Next, Mishnah Berurah. Actually, you want me to look it up? I can look it up. Look, I have it here. We're in Rechinogin and Medak again. Hold on.
This is so funny.
I will tell you the truth, though. The truth is, some people. There's one halacha I left out here, but it's important that you're not supposed to take off your tefillin in front of a sefer Torah. It's considered disrespectful. So if you're ever going to take it off your tefillin before, not while the Torah is out.
Let's say you have to go to the bathroom, then when
do it during between the aliyot in that case.
Or let's say like it's
leave the room.
Yeah. Or but either way, you're not supposed to leave when the Torah is being read.
So you leave when it's in between aliyot.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be there when you're not supposed to have your tefillin on. You have to go to the bathroom.
It shows a bad custom that everyone leaves during the Torah.
Bad custom.
That's not the custom.
Not it. It's what people do.
That's the TV custom.
I think it's gotten better.
Julian, I found it. See, the deer shoe helped me find it. Just like on Yantif, we don't wear tefillin. So there's to show that Rosh Chodesh is special, we don't wear tefillin and musaf. Basically what I said. Okay? Now, in terms of how long you should keep your tefillin on, all things being equal, ideally you should keep your tefillin on to the end of davening. However, if you know you have to flatulate, or if it's hard for you, whatever, to keep your mind straight, then it would be better to take off your tefillin early, or for whatever reason. So, you know, you just can't, you're not in the headspace, you have to get out of there early, then it would be okay to take off your tefillin, but all things being equal, it would be ideal to keep your tefillin on until the end of davening, and even learn a little Torah with your tefillin on. Okay, which is why I try to say the halacha while everyone still has their tefillin on, to be kind.
Can I
plug
in my phone?
Yeah. Sure. Okay. We're nearing the end of our source sheets. Who wants to do source 19? Okay. Go to 20.
Nagoha olam she yesha ina mishai hin aleham ayotir min ha tayuv hatiuv did srichin guf miki the holy fee masha hu adama. Ime en lo guf naki ua matiram
mitiare
shmaya yafiach yes lik miad.
Good. So what do we just say?
That there are those who don't
leave the tefillin on more than what is necessary. They just put it on the basic Shema, Shmoneh Esrei V'zeu. Why is that?
Because all the time that a man... because if a man has his tefillin on, then he...
needs what?
To be in the right state of mind.
And mind and body. Gufnaki, you need to physically... And if you know you're good, whatever, you're going to let some gas out, then better to just take off the tefillin right away. Mm-hmm. If you can't, if you think that you may come to flatulate, therefore, again, there's a good, the Mishnah Berurah says it's no problem to take off your tefillin early if you're worried that you're going to let out gas or something like that. Just do the basics.
I can't believe the Mishnah Berurah is talking about farting.
Why?
It's
a lot. It's part of life.
The Gemara talks about babies flying off roofs.
Okay, that's more serious than farting.
Anyways, ain rov. Keep going. Ayin sim lam zayin. Ain rov. Ain rov haolam.
Ain rov haolam. Nohagim le hani cham. Kol hayom uvashan.
Right, so the world is not where it's filling all day. The holy Ari, may his name be blessed, wrote
Tuvo Shalo Haya Chofetz Ad Acher.
Lo Ya Cholet, what does Cholet mean again?
You shouldn't take off.
Don't remove your tefillin until for some Kabbalistic reason, you should wait until and only then, after Aleinu, can you do, can you take off your tefillin.
And on the day that there is a Brit Milah, you shouldn't remove your tefillin until after the Brit Milah, because the Milah represents an oat and tefillin represents an oat.
They're both oats are a special connection. Oat means a special connection with the Kodesh Baruch.
Oti,
like a sign, like Shabbos, also it's called an oat.
Eight is time, right?
Oat is a...
And a pen.
That's a different thing. Anyways... Oud is our a special sign of our connection with Hashem. Like he said, Shabbos, Mila, and Rosh Chodesh, and therefore, and Tefillin. You don't have to. This is not like a obligatory thing, but Ra'ui means it is fitting to keep your Tefillin on at a Brit Mila. That's why you'll see many times
people keep
their Tefillin on at a Brit Mila. Okay. Yeah, go for it.
Mishnah Berurah 20. The Hanashim should know hagin lekafal atlit v'tefillin v'lehanichan v'tikan v'et amirat kadosh lo yafeh hen osin v'moed yesh l'chavan v'inatit ishar ishrehu.
Amen Yehish Me'i Rabba.
Amen
Yehish Me'i Rabba.
Gimavuch ar lekaman v'siman nun vav
Tor v'shokar.
Huom a'od ha'midraga gavo yviyoter v'kedusha.
Okay, so let's go over. What does that mean? There are anashim shenohagim. What does nohagim mean, guys? They have a custom. Likapel.
There are men, or that we have the custom?
There are those who have a custom, likapel, to tie up, to fold up, hatalit, vetfilim, ulahanichan, and to place them, bitikan, in their bag. Their tik. Beit amir kaddish, when people are saying kaddish.
That's disrespectful.
Lo yafeh hen osim. It's not nice. Not nice. We should have kavana when we say Amen Yesh Me Rabba, and we shouldn't be thinking about other things. We should just be answering, says the Mishnah Berurah. And the Amen Yesh Me Rabba, who od b'madrega, is on a higher level, madriga level, like darga, yoter mikdusha, even higher than kedusha, which everyone takes so seriously, is Amen Yesh Me Rabba, and therefore he doesn't like it. If you're going to do it, then certainly at least don't get distracted and have kavana when you're saying.
Yeah, is that why it's, people, I was told one time, because I was davening minchah one time, and I had a tallit on, and afterwards I took it off started folding it up during Kaddish, and afterwards the Rav told me to leave it on until after davening.
This Mishnah Berurah, that's why.
My rabbi used to say that seven words can, that could change your life.
Yeah.
That was
not rough. Yeah, that was
7th grade.
How many words does Manish
Rabba? That's rough.
I think.
Letters.
How many letters?
I always say it.
I could be wrong, but I think a Manish Rabba is 7 words and 28 letters. And I think Bereshis Bara Elokim et Hashamayim et Haaretz is also 7 words and 28 letters. So it's like recreating the world every time you say Manish Rabba. And the Gemara says that it tears up. Any bit, it has the power potentially to tear up bad decrees.
What does it mean? It means
may God's name be made great forever and ever. It's a declaration that we are dedicating our lives to God's service. Okay.
Wait, last one?
Yeah.
Last
one. Who wants to do it? I don't really care. It's all good.
Last one wants to do it.
Okay, I'll do it. San Kodam.
Al Kopanim.
Al Kopanim.
Nonetheless,
Yitor Shelo Yechlus Hashar.
Hashalrosh.
Hashalrosh Bivnei Ha.
Sefer Torah.
Sefer Torah. Kidei Shelo Yegilu Roshel Bivnia. Ela Yistalik Lesat Dudin Uba.
Shalyad.
Shalyad. Dicha Yelui. Oh, but tefillin shalrosh tachad hatalit gadol sharei.
Good. That's what I told you guys before, that you should not take off your tefillin shalrosh before Sefer Torah, because it's considered disrespectful. Rather go to the side and take off your shalrosh if you need to leave early.
Before the Aron, or before an open Sefer Torah?
What did it say? Sefer Torah. For Sefer Torah.
What does that mean? Before the name?
If the Torah is out. If the Torah is out, you shouldn't take off shalrosh. But if shalrosh, yeah, that's okay. Or you could have a talis on so it doesn't look like disrespectful and no one can see that you're taking off shalrosh. And that, my friends, is the end of Simen Chaf Hei, which is, discusses tefillin. Round of applause. This may have been one of the first times the whole year